Good to see everybody here. Number two. You ever notice how many times the number two is used in Scripture? And even when the number is not used, the concept of two is in there quite often. And so we're going to notice a few things associated with the number two. And so the Bible keeps things really simple. That's something we need to remember to tell people, because a lot of times when we start talking to people about the Bible, oh, it's so complicated. Can't understand it. And that's not so. The Bible is very simple. It is easy to understand if you have a heart willing to accept what it says. Now, if your heart's not in it, then yeah, you don't want to understand it. And because you know what that means. All right, so for all the most part, decisions are decided by an either or. And we always have decisions. Everything we do in life, we make a decision to do that. And it's either or. Either one thing or it's the other thing. It's either this or either that. And so it is very simple. And so when anyone has a decision to make, it's an option, usually between two things. All right, only a few times in Scripture is there given a third option. David was given three options. When he had done something he shouldn't have done, God says, I'm going to punish you. And so you select your punishment, and he gave him three options. And then when Solomon became king, God told him, I will give you your choice of three things. And those are really the only places I can find where a third option is actually given for the people to select from. Usually it's a whole lot more simple than that, one or the other. And so we see that. And these times were in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we're really still given only two options. And we need to look at that. And we cannot really have a contrast with more than two objects. And you know, from Isaiah chapter 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who switch darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And so it's always one or the other. You either have light or you have dark. There's really no middle point that we need to consider, because it's one or the other. And we're going to notice a few of those as we go. We also have to remember there's only two sources of teaching in this world. And we see God teaches us, and we should be paying attention to God for sure, or we can listen to man. Now, if you will, in Matthew 21, 23 through 27, there's a story when the Pharisees come up to Jesus and start asking about the baptism of John, or ask him a question by what authority he did those things. And Jesus said, well, I will ask you a question, and you tell me, then I will tell you. And so he said, the baptism of John, whence was it from? From heaven or from man? And the Pharisees got over in the corner and started, you know, a little, they're talking, you know, if we say it was from heaven, then we're going to upset a lot of people, because he's going to turn around and say, well, why didn't you do it? Just that simple. And then they said, but if we say it's from men, well, we fear the people, because they hold John to be a prophet. And so they came back and said, we cannot say. Jesus said, neither will I tell you. But the thing is, Jesus had already established his authority there in Mark chapter 1 when he healed the paralytic. He says, your sins are forgiven. Oh, everybody got upset, because only God can forgive sin. But then Jesus turns around and said, so that you know I have the authority to forgive sins, he looked at the man and says, take up your pallet and walk. And he did. And so Jesus demonstrated his authority. So it's either from heaven or from man. And there's only two sources of teaching in this world. And we have to know. There are two choices, good or evil, right or wrong, truth or error, life or death. I mean, it's other words, You know, there was a time in the Old Testament that Elijah told the people, you know, you need to make up your mind, because they wavered between these two points. See, in 1 Kings 18, he put a challenge out to the priests of the Baals and said, okay, we're going to see whose God is really God. And so he came up, told the people, how long are you going to waver? Make up your mind. If God is God, serve him. If the Baals are God, serve them. But you can't serve them both. And we're taught that throughout the scriptures. You can't serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and the gods of this world. We have to make a choice. And Elijah did. And this is where he built the altar, and then he poured the water on it. And he said, you guys go first. They said, call upon your God to light the fire. Whoa, light the fire? I mean, our God. So they prayed and prayed. They slashed themselves. They screamed. They hollered. Didn't happen. Then he poured water over it, and then he prayed to God, and the fire came down and licked up all the water and took up the burnt offering. And so the people knew at that point God was God. So they killed the prophets of Baal. Joshua, when he gathered the people together, says, folks, you've got to make up your mind. I mean, you have a choice. You can either serve the gods of the Egyptians where we came from, or you can serve the gods of the people of this land. But as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so there's really only two choices that people have when it comes to this. There's only two possibilities when you think about it, heaven or hell. There is no third place. There is no purgatory, as some groups want to talk about. There is no just oblivion, which a lot of people have really adopted over recent years. They teach the idea of annihilation. So in other words, after you die, you're just gone. It's like, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses for many years, they taught this. And so it's like you're dead like Rover all over. I mean, when the dog dies, he's dead. What do you do? Well, I guess some rich people might stuff their dogs and animals, but I buried mine. So anyway, what do you do with a dead dog? You bury it. So for us, there's really only one of two places, heaven or hell. There is no other option. There is no option of staying alive forever. We know that's not going to happen. And so the option, heaven or hell, is either eternal life or eternal punishment. And it's a choice that we are allowed to make. All right. Romans 2, 7 through 8 talks about this. Those who live a life of righteousness, eternal life. Those who have denied God and turned against him, wrath and indignation will be upon them. And of course, that's either going to happen, eternal life in heaven, or the wrath and indignation in hell. There are two foundations as we look. We can either heed the words of Jesus, or we can ignore the words of Jesus. Now, when we talk about foundations, we're reminded in Matthew chapter 7 and then verse 24 through 27. He says, he told people, those of you who hear my words and act upon them, you're like the man who built his house upon a rock. And then, of course, the storm came, the winds came and blew, and the house stood firm. But if you ignore my words and don't listen to what I say, you're like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the storm came and the winds blew, and great was the destruction of his house. And so, yes, there's two foundations. The foundation of following Jesus, or the foundation of ignoring what he says. There are two faiths when we think about this. See, there's a living, active faith of obedience. And that's something we encourage people to do. And then there's also a dead faith. Of course, we can go to James 2, verses 14 through 26. Remember, that's a big, long passage talking about faith. What use is it, my friend, if a man says he has faith but hath not works, can that faith save him? And then he goes on and talks about all sorts of different things. But the point is, and he concludes with, that if we don't have the actions to back up our faith, it doesn't do us any good. It is a dead faith. And we cannot have faith only. So there's two ways, and Jesus talked about these. There's the broad way that leads to destruction, and of course, there's the narrow way that leads to eternal life. We also read that in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He talked about those ways. And so there are only two ways. Nowadays, you start asking people, they're going to give you 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 174 options of what you can do. But Jesus said there's only two ways you can go. And of course, all of this was given to us to encourage us to make the right choice. There's two alternatives. We can turn from the error of our way and find eternal life, or we can turn from your wicked ways. We can turn from our wicked ways, or you can turn from your righteous ways. And we know people who have done that as well. Faithful church members then all of a sudden just give it all up and start serving the world and Satan. See, in Ezekiel 18, 21 through 26, as God tells Ezekiel, tell the person their sins and be blunt about it if necessary. You tell them that if they don't change their ways, they're going to suffer for it. And so it basically says if a wicked man turns from his evil ways and starts serving the Lord, then I, the Lord, will forget all the evil that he has done. Then he turned around, if a righteous man turns away from practicing righteousness and turns towards wickedness, I, the Lord, will forget all the righteous things that he has done. Of course, you know, when we read that, we think of Calvinism, who says once saved, always saved, and that's a false teaching, because God will not tolerate anyone who turns their back on him. There are two appointments that we have to be aware of. In Hebrews 9:27, says it is appointed for man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Yes, there's two appointments that nobody is going to escape. It is going to be there. Nobody's going to miss out on either of these. We're all going to die, and yes, we're all going to face judgment. And there are only two destinations. Despite what some people might teach, as some of these other religions might teach, well, you just get recycled over and over. I don't know if I would want to be recycled or not. I don't know about you. You say, well, it might be interesting to come back as a bird or something like that. But you know what? Birds don't have hands. And if they go around, they do everything. Just imagine tying your hands up behind your back and going places and eating all your food with hands tied behind your back. That's the life of a bird. Does that sound like fun? No. See, the destinations we're given, a choice of heaven, and then, of course, there's a choice of hell. Now, what are we going to do? What are you going to do? It's so very simple. And surprise, surprise, you got a short lesson tonight. All right. See, the Bible is really that simple. It's a matter of, are we going to do what God says, or are we going to do our own thing? We know what happens when we do our own thing. We're probably going to be lost. See, the Bible can be understood and obeyed. And that's the choice we have to make. Am I going to obey what God tells me to do? I mean, that's so simple to explain and understand. But the problem is, if your mind is not on God, your mind is in the world, and doing what God wants you to do doesn't, it kind of cramps your lifestyle, right? Kind of goes against what you feel like doing. But the Bible can be understood. And that's why so many people reject the Bible, because they do actually understand it. They do know exactly what it says, and they don't like it. See, those who do will be rewarded with heaven and eternal life. And that's what we encourage people to do. Follow God's laws, do His will, so that we can go to heaven. Those who don't follow God's will, they're not going to heaven. They're going to be punished, and it's going to be a horrible punishment. I mean, God painted the picture for us of how horrible hell is going to be. And that's why He wants us to really be motivated not to go there. But really, when it gets down to it, it's your choice. Always. It is always your choice. Do I do right? Do I do wrong? Do I give in to temptation? Do I refrain from temptation? Whatever the situation might be, it's always your choice. When you sin, you have done so by choice. Remember, God said He will not give us any temptation which we cannot handle. I mean, so every time we give in to temptation, God gave us an out. He gave us the way out of it, and we just chose not to do that. Don't make that mistake. Serve the Lord God. It's your choice what you're going to do. That's our lesson for this evening. Consider these thoughts, and really, like I say, keep it as simple in your mind as you can, and hopefully that'll motivate you to make the right choices. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.